Greetings going out to each and everyone, and welcome to another podcast by yours truly, Mr. Minister Brian Stevens. And in this particular podcast, we'll be talking about temperance, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So I'm going to give you a quick overview of what the word temperance means. Temperance means to have self-control. Temperance means to have self-restraint. Temperance means to have self-discipline. Now, self-control refers to the ability to regulate thoughts, emotions, and behaviors in order to achieve long-term goals and adhere to societal norms. It involves managing emotions and resisting impulsive actions or desires. Self-control is essential to personal growth, success, and overall well-being. Now, self-restraint, this refers to the ability to control one's impulses, desires, and actions in order to align with personal values, goals. Developing self-restraint can lead to improved decision-making skills, enhanced relationships, better physical and mental health outcomes, and overall personal growth. Self-discipline is the ability to control one's behavior, thoughts, and emotions. It involves setting clear goals, creating routines, managing impulses and temptations, and cultivating a positive mindset. By practicing self-discipline, individuals can enhance their productivity, achieve success, and lead a more fulfilling life. Now, this is the fruit of the Spirit that we need to have, which is self-control at all times. Now, we're going to dive into the scriptures now, and I'm going to use an example of temperance which was needed in this particular situation concerning Israel complaining against Moses. So we're going to take a look at Numbers 20, and from verse 1 to 5, and we're going to be reading from the New King James Version. And it reads, "Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses, saying, 'If only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into the wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink.'" Now, this is the people who Moses was looking after, gathered against him complaining, and Moses brought them up into the wilderness to die there. This is what they were saying. And they were saying that there was no figs, no vines, no pomegranates, and no water. The Bible tells us that Moses, he's one of the most humblest men of God that was in the days of old. But these people managed to let Moses lose control for just a moment. And the key thing here is we have to be careful as believers that people do not let us get angry or get upset. Sometimes we need to stop and think and analyze the situation of what is actually happening there, or here, I should say, because sometimes people speak into you, and they're speaking to you aggressively, or they're speaking to you in a way that will get you upset and angry, and you're wondering what is going on here. But if you really stop and analyze the situation, sometimes these people have certain types of spirits in them that is making them act a certain way. And then when you analyze what's actually happening, then you can deal with it according to what you have seen or found out to be happening at that particular time. Now let's carry on reading in Numbers 20 from verse 7 and verse 11. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water from them out of the rock, and give them drink to the congregation and their animals." So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water to you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Now, when you analyze this verse very carefully, the Lord did tell Moses to speak to the rock, but he disobeyed and struck the rock twice. Because of this, he was not allowed to go into the promised land. Everything in your life can change in a moment when you disobey the Lord. When the Lord gives you an instruction to do something, you must follow it very, very carefully. This is why we need to be listening very carefully to the Spirit of God, you know. So because of that now, Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land, and his life changed in a moment because of the people made him get upset. And remember that Moses was one of the most humblest persons in the Bible, but yet still these people were able to make him get angry in just that one little moment. Now the book of James chapter 4 verse 6 to 7, and it reads, "But he giveth more grace, therefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee." This is the only way we can deal with our emotions, is by submitting ourselves to God, resist the devil to let him flee and leave us alone. One thing I've discovered, if you're a person who gets upset very easily by a particular thing or by a person, the enemy will use that thing or that person to get you upset all the time, because it's a trigger for him to use against you. Let's read Matthew chapter 26 from verse 46 to 52. Look at how Jesus handled this particular situation. And it reads, "Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off one of his ear. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword." Now this is Jesus. Now Jesus told his servant to put away the sword. If he had lived by the sword, he shall die by it. And this is the problem that we see in society today with the young people. They're quick to draw knives to resolve their problems, and they're only making things worse for families on both sides. The family of the perpetrator who's using it to injure people, their family is suffering because that perpetrator has gone to prison. The family who's lost their loved one, they're grieving over their loved one. So it caused heartache on both sides. Jesus had good temperance here to actually let the soldiers take him away and he was betrayed by one of his own servants with a kiss. How many people has betrayed us with a kiss? How many people has let us down? And yet still, Jesus handled this situation very, very calmly and allowed these soldiers to take him away. You know, some of us in that situation would probably be quick to draw a sword as well to deal with this situation, you know, but temperance, you know, is what we need, which is, again, as I said earlier, one of the fruits of the Spirit. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2 and verse 8, and it reads, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." The selflessness and humility of Jesus, who willingly obeyed God's plan, and he laid his life down to the point of death on the cross for the salvation of humanity. And this is how humble Jesus was to complete the mission that he came to earth to fulfill. He did this, and he did not let mankind get in his way or stop him from fulfilling what he was sent to earth to come and do, which was for the salvation of humanity. A question was asked to Jesus in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1 to 5, and it reads, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus, saying, Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will no by means enter the kingdom of heaven. Wherefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." This is how humble and self-controlling we have to be to enter into the kingdom of God. Because children are innocent, they don't know anything until taught by their parents or what they see in society or around the home. I have challenged myself and I've challenged my family to become as one of these little childs and to remain humble and innocent, just like a child. This is a key fruit, because it is the fruit we're talking about, that you need to have to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now let me just quickly read through a few scriptures, because, you know, I like to use the word to explain what I'm actually saying. Proverbs 25 and verse 28. "Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls." Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9. "Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools." Proverbs 16 and verse 32. "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." Titus 2 and verse 11 to 12. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." This is the life that we have to live, soberly, righteously, and godly. We are ambassadors and God's representative for his kingdom here in the earth. People's eyes are upon us, and people are watching how we live. And when we do anything wrong, people are quick to judge, and people are quick to speak against you as a believer, because they're watching your actions. And, you know, the thing is, they also know the word. This is why they're watching you, to see what mistakes you are making, when they're supposed to be trying to live a godly life as well. They're quick to tear you down because they're watching you all the time just to see if you're living a godly life. But temperance is a strength. It takes strength. It takes power. It takes self-control to have this particular strength and not to react to people with the things that people do to us or to the things that people say. Because when you know God for yourself, you know that God is with you. The Bible said, if God is for me, who can be against me? The Bible says, when my enemies come in like a flood, that our Lord will raise up a standard against him. So you don't have to do anything. You just be humble. You just stay calm. And the Lord will just take care of everything. Now let me take another reading from James 4, 6-7. But he gives more grace, therefore, he says, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. As mentioned earlier, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God gives more grace, favor, and help to those who humble themselves before God. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humility is a key virtue in the Christian faith. It's contrasted with pride. James encouraged believers to submit themselves to God. He means acknowledging God's authority and surrendering their will to his submission to God is vital for self-control. Resisting the devil, this involves standing firm against temptation, sin, and the schemes of the enemy. When believers submit to God and resist the devil will flee from them. You shall know them by their fruits. Matthew 7, 15-20, and it reads, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that bears not good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. In Galatians 5, from verse 18 to 23, it reads, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So once you have this fruit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, this means you do not come under the law, because you'll be judged in the end according to your deeds. We must be led by the Spirit of God. It's the only way to bear fruit. Once we have temperance, there will be no law against us. Without such fruit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now finally, 8 key points for you to remember. Temperance means to have self-control. Temperance means to have self-restraint. Temperance means to have self-discipline. Resist being disobedient to the Lord. Resist fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Resist sinful behaviors. Practice self-control and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Without all of the fruits of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you all for tuning in. I hope this helps somebody out there to understand about this fruit called temperance. You know, as I said, the world that we're living in right now, everybody's quick to get upset and have opinion and this and have opinion and that. And all we need to do is just stay calm and relaxed, because Jesus has everything under control. We don't have to fret. We don't have to worry. Jesus said he has overcome this world, so we don't need to worry. Jesus has told us that he himself has been through all these trials and tribulations in the earth, and he has overcome them all. And our victory is in him. You know, not in the things of this world, not in worldly pleasures, not in social media. We need Jesus in our life to help us to overcome bad things and the hard things of this life. You know, so my advice to anyone listening who don't know Christ, please invite Jesus into your heart. Ask him to be the Lord and the ruler of your life. Repent of all your sins and let the Lord take control of your life. And then you will see your life changing. You will see you as a person changing and becoming into the image of Jesus Christ himself. And all will be well. Because we as believers, we don't need to worry about anything. We just call upon the Lord and he's there for us to help us. I hope this blesses you. God bless, and thank you for tuning in. Bye-bye for now.